And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
This would be the spot. God, you're gorgeous. Hello, Rob.
Hey, gang.
Hey, how are you?
Got your floss?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
I know, I got it in my wallet.
Thank you, Buzz.
Thank you for the free floss you give us all today, Buzz.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Agard and all the ships at sea. Hey, they're extra smart because they've got extra brain juice. Here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening coast-to-coast and nationwide. Still, VFX with Bud, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, right here. That's why every day we insist you refer to it as your cotton-picking Don and Mike show.
Better than a slice of chocolate pie.
We are coming to you from radio station WJFK. What's that smell? That's, smell of death, smell of Ken Stevens, general manager of this radio station.
Oh, what a stench.
He is covered with hideous skin tag, six-car garage. Ah, oh, he's a pisser. The program director, Jeremy Coleman, Ken's number two. As we speak right now, he is rolling himself up in a little ball of human skin underneath his desk.
Yeah.
Just petrified of what he's going to hear out of the radio. He's the program director. Very baggy Salvation Army clothes he also wears.
Mm-hmm.
Big Daddy Mel, rule of the world from New York City. He's our Buddha, you know.
Oh, yes.
Rub on those cufflinks for good luck. And, of course, our agent, Junior Soprano, making the whole thing happen in Chicago. There's your chain of command. Word of advice now for soccer moms. I know you have Junior and Missy in the back of the minivan. Please, move them to the back because I have just whipped this thing out.
That looks to me like it's burgundy and gold.
It is, Mike.
It is burgundy and gold, but it's not natural.
No, it's from overuse.
Oh.
Burgundy and gold from overuse. Another perfectly executed over this big time major market radio show. Arbitron rated 5 million strong, and we thank you for your patronage.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
What?
Is that we say it every day, but it's a documented fact that the Arbitron ratings tell us that we have 5 million people listening to this show at any given time.
Right.
Yet I read in the newspaper today that Letterman only has 3.5 million viewers.
That's true.
So we have more listeners than Letterman has viewers. Then how come we're so much further down the food chain than David Letterman is?
You know, it makes me think that perhaps we're being taken advantage of.
Really?
Yeah.
With that man in charge?
I think so.
Here he is to my left and to your right, the man that graciously gave us all dental floss today.
Yeah, a product that we all immediately, I mean, we all put it in our wallets or put it in a safe place because we like the product.
Mr. Guy J. Swinger, Atheist, Birdly Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi,
everybody. Well, listen to me now. We've got tons of crap to get into the show today because we have a truncated show today.
Right.
Because it's Friday and there's a Washington Redskins exhibition game. We'll only be doing half a show today. I would like to get in a plug, though, that I will once again be hosting the Washington Redskins pregame show on the 50-plus Redskins affiliate stations starting at 5:30 today, East Coast time.
You are back hosting that pregame show because they just couldn't do it without you.
Very true.
That's it, and now you're back, and I think that this bodes well for the Washington Redskins. Well, that could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Keep in mind, I did host the show for 3 years previous, and they sucked all 3 years previous.
But didn't they really suck last year?
Yes, they did. They started 0-7 last year. So a gratuitous plug there. Please join me at 5:30 today. And sorry about the truncated show that we have going here. Okay, today, oh, boy, we got so much stuff to cram into such a very small amount of time.
Yes.
We have a small controversy to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should start with that. Or you know what? No, let me start on a lighter note. And then we will go to today's controversy that involves our next Las Vegas-style show.
Yes. Not all that small, really.
No. It could be a major controversy involving our next Las Vegas-style show.
Yeah, that's right.
First, let me call my child bride, and I want to tell you what this lady said to me tonight. She's out.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Oh, hi, my boo-boo.
She's out having lunch with her girlfriends, of course. The life of leisure. She's out having her, you know, her little finger sandwiches.
Wonderful. Known.
They're all sitting around with their parasols, you know, their
parasols.
Umbrellas.
Right.
Yeah, their parasols.
With their big hoop skirts, their big antebellum skirts that they wear from Sarah.
I just can't ask you your, you know, considered opinion without having it come back to haunt me.
Big poodle skirts. She calls me up. She's having lunch with a bunch of her friends. I think it's Vicky and Bunny, you know, the regulars.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, listen.
Well, and don't name names because you're wrong on the guest list, so that's all right.
All right, so she says to me, listen, we're having a discussion about sex. Do you know that these other women...
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Or you,
no,
I thought you hung
still
up.
Here.
My wife says to me, do you know these other women tell me that when they have sex with their husbands...
No, this is just what that they have heard.
They're on...
giving me some kindly advice.
They're on the bottom.
They didn't say that they specifically... They said that...
No.
Have, let me tell it. From what, they, from what they've heard, you, that the woman should always be on the bottom.
And tell everybody the reason.
Because it makes your face look better. Because
your face, you won't get as many wrinkles on your face.
No, because
if you're on the bottom,
wrinkles go away. You know, when you're looking up, it's much more flattering than
not
when
for the
you're,
boobs.
Yeah, well, that too, but when you're looking down, then your face hangs.
Honey, and listen, mm-hmm. you know, and she's having this discussion with her friends while they're eating.
Really?
You know, and she has to call me to give me this bulletin.
Don't women talk about sex all the time, though? Isn't that,
I guess they
isn't
do.
That documented that women talk about sex
more than we
sure.
have?
I guess they do.
More than guys, actually. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about that.
No.
We talk about sex an awful lot.
Different way, though.
No,
guys will be sitting around, like, in a room, and all of a sudden a woman will walk by, and the guys will be, like, real quiet going, and then the door will close, and she'll walk out of the room, and it's like, well, yeah. And then they go back to eating their, you know, their lettuce, and then, you know, and it's over that quick. But women will have, like, lengthy...
I guess so.
Kind of a parallel to sex.
I guess so. All I know is
quickly with men.
All I know is that it's gross. The thought that she's having lunch, having her meatball sandwich or whatever she's having with her friend.
We're having sushi.
They're having sushi.
Wow.
They're having this discussion. She has to call me and tell me this. And one of the few times that I'm caught speechless. And I just said to my wife,
he's okay. Like a little boy. He hangs up. I gotta go. Goodbye.
Okay, you know, goodbye. Because I hear all of her friends, you know, cackling in the background. And I just want to let you know that I don't see how that makes wrinkles go out of your face.
No, it's much more attractive, so we will have to flip-flop if you don't mind.
No, I love it the other way. I gotta have it the other way. And I would think you would like it the other way because it puts you in the power position.
I did not know, though, but how unattractive. And someone was saying, well, yes, they kind of hung over a mirror and they saw that it's much less attractive than if the view is coming, you know.
Oh, I got to tell you something. I mean, I prefer the on-top position myself, the old traditional missionary.
Right on.
But I will tell you that I think when a woman's on top, it actually... I think she actually looks better.
I agree.
Well,
in fact, I think it's highly erotic.
You don't have a 40-year-old wife.
What's that?
You don't have a 40-year-old wife when you start to think.
I don't have a 40-year-old wife either. I have a 44-year-old wife.
I know. But
and I still like you on top.
You have had a 40-year-old wife.
Yes, I have. 4 years ago, I had a 40-year-old
right.
wife.
That's right.
I wouldn't think it would matter whether the wife was 40, 50, 20, or whatever.
70.
It actually, 70.
80.
Maybe you want them lying down, you know. It just seems to me that women look good on top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, honey. We're not changing. I guess that was the point.
You know what? You probably don't notice. However, if I was making love with another woman, she would probably notice. Oh, this is not attractive, Frida.
Well, now, if you were making love with another woman,
yeah.
You know, if I could watch, you could be on top, you could be on the bottom, you could be anywhere you'd like.
I'd have to be on bottom because you might not notice what's happening with my wrinkles, but the other woman might.
Did you discuss that at all with your friends
no,
today?
No, but that will have to be our next lunch.
Because I know that there has been some playful petting on occasion between you and our one neighbor up the street.
Really?
Yeah.
There has not.
There has too.
And that's an ugly rumor that, you know, I think, well, maybe
playful
there was
petting.
That time that I was tempted by Marcia.
Sure.
No, I'm talking about, and it was the same night, as a matter of fact, that you were fooling around with Marcia in that playful kidding, wink-wink way.
You know, it's a good thing for me that everybody knows you're full of baloney.
I'm not full of baloney, honey.
Right.
Buzz,
yep.
You were there that night. Was my wife pawing your wife, and was your wife pawing my wife?
They were flirting with the idea. I think that was
they were doing a little more than flirting with the idea. They're flirting with the idea with their hands.
Okay, we'll go with the Burbanks, and we'll flop, only you get Buzz, and I get Marcia. That's a new kind of flopping.
Honey,
no, thanks.
I might go for that.
You know, he's the best-looking man on the show.
All right, I love you. You're crazy. That's all I wanted to tell you.
All right, boo-boo.
All right, goodbye. That's gross, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be sitting just reading the newspaper. My wife calls with all of her friends.
Right.
Just sitting at the restaurant having this big discussion. And while she's saying this to me, I hear them in the background. They're just going, hee, 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 hee. Tell him. Tell him. Tell him you want to be on the bottom.
Does she want to be on the bottom?
No, I don't think so.
We didn't get that out of that conversation. We didn't realize whether she really preferred.
No, she likes being on top.
You like her being on
top. Yes, I do, and I think she likes being on top, too. I just don't think she wanted to say that to her friends. She wants to be assertive
with her
friends.
You're very set in your ways with a lot of things, and I guess sexual position.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way it is every single time?
Absolutely every time.
Wow. Okay, good.
Absolutely. Even when we were in the limo last week for our anniversary. Even then.
Wow. Well, in a limo, that's the perfect.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
You couldn't really... Well, I guess you could do a variety of things. But
you could
really
do it the other way. She could have been laying back, and
I think for maximum comfort in a limo,
yeah,
perfect like that.
Can't beat it. Today is, if you'll pardon the pun, today is Friday the 13th, and the phone number is 1-800-636-1067. Just for snakes, Buzz, you know, how do you like it?
Both ways, actually.
No, if you had to pick one.
I guess the one that I fall back on most is the standard missionary position.
That so you on top.
Use, yeah, most
you
of
on
the
top.
Time.
Mike?
But, you know.
Huh? Mike?
I have a sequence that I prefer.
Cool. What, a ritual?
Yeah, it's actually the same every time.
What is it?
It starts out with the regular missionary position, and then it ends up with little doggy style action.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah.
And Robbie.
Thank you, Buzz.
Robbie.
And not the traditional. It's kind of like, it's a little different. It's not classic doggy style. It's more
cool.
Like...
modern doggy style?
I'm really embarrassed now to say it's a reveal, but it's just a modified doggy style. Just a slightly modified. Not on really all fours and stuff like
it's
that.
It's not bad doggy
like
style,
no,
right?
No, no, no. No.
Okay. All right.
It's like more of a flattened out kind of doggy style, which is what it is.
So she's like laying on her stomach?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Hmm. Gotcha. I'll think about
very
that.
Cool. And it's A-okay.
I'll think about that. I mean, not for me,
right.
But I'll think about your wife doing that.
Oh.
Thank you.
And that's what it's all about.
And Robbie?
I prefer her on top. But it's all good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and that's just probably laziness.
I was going to say that. I mean, that is the ultimate lazy. That is the lazy position.
That's why I like it so much.
It ain't bad.
It ain't bad at all. I have a sex bulletin here that I think you really shouldn't wait until Monday. It's about Sting, you know, because we've heard a lot about what his sexual prowess is supposed to be.
You mean the singer Sting?
Right, that Sting. Like what, he's supposed to be... He's supposed to be able to last for hours. That's been the legend.
Right.
Okay. All right. Men and women have been spreading the story that Sting can last for hours because of some kind of meditation thing. Just in from the Associated Press. Most guys don't believe him anyway, but Sting has finally fessed up to the fact that he really cannot make love for 7 hours straight. He once claimed to have lasted seven hours.
Well, who believed 7 hours?
Oh, that's ridiculous. Our wives did. He once claimed to have lasted 7 hours using the method of tantric sex. I don't know what that is exactly.
What is tantric sex?
And let me just simply go on record as saying is I am amazed that you do not know what that means.
He probably does.
First time.
He's just playing dumb with us. He really knows what it is.
Let me tell you this. I'll know by this time tomorrow. Now Sting tells Esquire magazine that the 7 hours includes dinner and a movie. He doesn't say if the dinner...
Oh, now wait a minute. If that's the case, then I've had 7 hours sex with my wife. If it includes dinner and a movie and watch some TV...
Dinner and a movie be about 4 hours, though. He says that's if the dinner is 6 courses and the movie is Titanic. Which wouldn't leave much time left over.
Well, that's good.
I think we'll enjoy that.
We all can be relaxed now.
I got you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Lori.
Yes, hello, Lori.
Hi. I love your show.
Love you. Love you.
I have to tell you, when the woman's on top, if she would tilt her head back a little and play with her own tatas, you would not see any wrinkles.
Oh, man.
Aren't you right about that?
Let me not even comment and just give you a round of applause for that comment right there.
Right.
And personally, I don't think the guys are going to be worried about your wrinkles when you're on top anyway.
No, it was just...
they're enjoying it too much.
Right. It was just my wife talking with her girlfriends today. That's all it was. You know, you're a girl, Laura. You know what that's
being
about.
On top. You know, you have more control on the top.
That's what I just said.
Have you ever
rhythm.
Tried? Have you ever tried on top facing the other direction?
Yes, I've tried it all. Mm-hmm. And I love it all.
On top.
God bless you, Lori.
No, because...
And I'm a petite little thing, too.
I know, because
it's
then
like
you're looking at the butt.
Right, God. I don't like the butt, Mike.
But it's very close to an important
I know it
part.
Is, but there is that important patch of skin between the two that separates the
That's
two.
That's right, the taint.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Again.
Thank you. What, are you applauding the taint, Buzz?
Just the fact that he said it.
Yeah.
More than anything else. But yeah, I'll applaud that, too.
Oh, my God. Hello, Don and Mike show.
All right, Dynamite. Love you guys. You're the greatest. But please, please stop.
Please stop what?
Oh, my God. I can't imagine Mike having sex.
Why? What do you mean? You don't even know. I happen to be beautiful. I'm a very beautiful
man. He's a beautiful, pretty man, sir.
Stop! It's disgusting!
You've called before and you always give me a hard time, a-hole.
He's picturing you having sex.
Ashley. I always have to... Ashley is what I should always remember. That,
right.
That is
from yesterday's episode.
That is something I will always use.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. You wanted to know about tantric sex a few minutes ago?
Yes, we do. Please.
First of all, let me say I'm so disappointed that Buzz didn't know. I expected that.
Sorry.
Anyway, it is a subset of tantric yoga. Tantric yoga is a form of yoga where all of your bodily processes are controlled by breathing and meditation. So you should be
sounds boring.
An orgasm indefinitely with tantric sex.
Wow. Sounds very boring, though. You know, yoga is boring, man. My wife tries to get me into yoga. I swear to God. I guess my mind is not trained enough for it. Mm-hmm. I can't just sit in a room with my legs crossed and not, like, think about stuff. I can't do it. Yoga is so boring. I can't imagine.
Clear your mind? Is that what you're supposed to
please.
Completely clear your mind?
Please. My mind is a mess. You know that. My mind is a huge mess. I couldn't imagine having yoga sex.
It's good for sex, I'll tell you. I've lasted 2.5 minutes with tantric sex.
All right.
There's the proof.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
2.5 minutes. That's pretty good.
All right, Mike, here you go. Here's a love call for you. Hello.
I need that.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, Dave.
Hey, guys. Listen, first of all, your show is the best. I just want to weigh in support of Mike with his position that he was discussing earlier.
Yes. Well, with Laura lying on her stomach?
Do we have to mention her name?
Is that all time favorite?
Yes, yeah, with the woman, you know. Can we make it just a little more generic? Yes.
With Laura O'Mara lying on her stomach.
Stop it, you!
And my wife, it's like something about the angle or something. She just goes crazy.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Here you go. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Just like Laura O'Mara.
Stop it! Stop it!
With her husband, Mike O'Mara.
Don't be cruel.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Listen. I'd love to keep talking about sex. I can talk about sex for 5 hours.
Now I want to change the subject.
Okay. This is kind of related to sex.
Okay.
And I'm only moving fast because it's a truncated show today.
Right.
The Vegas Style Show that we have coming up in 2 weeks at this joint called Masquerades in Vienna, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I've just got to warn you now because I don't want to have any hurt feelings out there. The show may not happen.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you why the show may not happen. The ABC board in Virginia, which stands for Buzz...
Alcohol Beverage Control.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had some problems before.
Yeah. These guys are pricks, and they are out for our show. Mm. They called today... And they said that they are gunning for us at the next Las Vegas show. That they, because they control the liquor license for the bar that we were planning to do the show at.
Right? Yeah, their ultimate power, well, they can do a lot of things, but their ultimate power is they can shut the establishment down.
Right, that they want to set some guidelines for stuff that we can and cannot do in the Las Vegas style show. And, you know, normally when we go to a venue to play one of these shows, we told you this plenty of times, I'll meet with the owner of the place and I'll meet with the local authorities and we come up with a nice compromise and everybody generally is happy with these shows.
Right.
But this is not the case at this place. Listen to these rules that these guys laid down for us. First rule, no Monica cigar contest.
Mm-hmm.
None at all. Mm-hmm. So, again, I tried to compromise. I said, well, what if... You know, what if we get big towels and we rope off the area and nobody can see what's happening? They said the only way the girls would be able to do the Monica cigar game is if they actually left the premises, went across the street and did it, and then came back inside the bar.
Mm, yeah.
So
okay, so that's not going to work.
Right. I said, that's ridiculous. Then they said, also, you have this game called Eat the Apple. You couldn't do the Eat the Apple game.
Oh, my God.
Now, keep in mind, in the Eat the Apple game...
There is no nudity whatsoever.
Right.
In fact, there is no exposed skin in the Eat the Apple
game. Well, here's where they're being pricks about it. The Eat the Apple game works like this. We have a girl take a big, bright red apple, put it between her legs, and then her husband gets on his knees in front of her, and it's his job, with his hands behind his back, to eat a circle around the apple.
And it's pretty hysterical to look at.
Parlor
game. Like everything we do. It's pretty funny. I mean, funny and, you know, funny and a little erotic.
Yeah, and, you know, a great sporting event. We've had some good times. Like 11 seconds has been the winning time one
absolutely
time.
Absolutely.
Well, they said that's a no-go because that simulates sex acts.
Oh, God.
So you couldn't do that. Of course, the underwear fashion show. They said absolutely nobody getting naked. But this is the one that really has set me off. No profanity.
Oh my God.
No profanity.
It's the only place we can talk dirty.
Right.
That's why we have 21-year-olds coming in there. You know, it's 21 and older, that's all. And we go into a bar for adults, and we do a show for adults.
That's unconstitutional.
I know that's unconstitutional. That. Buzz, not only can they do that, they will enforce it.
Amazing.
And if we go to this show and we work under those parameters, it's not you and me and Mike and Rob that would be in trouble. Anybody that got up on stage with us and did one of these things would be open to the same kind of harassment that Lewis was put through. Remember, they took Lewis to court. And the bar could be shut down.
Oh, man.
So we are in negotiation now to see if we can come up with a compromise. And the thing that's the biggest pisser of all is the guy from the ABC board says to our producer, Charles Broyhill, now you tell me if this doesn't sound like something that we've heard from every dick program director we've ever worked for.
Right.
Those guys are so funny. Can't they just do a show without being profane?
Oh, come on.
You know.
It's the whole idea. You know, we build this show. It's very clear the way we build this show.
Hey, it's
this
an adult show, man.
We call it our Las Vegas triple X rated show because it's exactly what it is. It is a show for adults. It is an adult show. It is adult entertainment themed. That's really what it is. And we make no secret about that. It just seems a little severe.
And frankly, I'm a little worried about getting out there and doing a show. I think it might do more harm than good if we got out there and we were handcuffed and did a show that people would not enjoy.
Right.
We'd end up getting 2,000 people mad that they came out all the way out there and they didn't get the show that they wanted.
And it's certainly better to get this, you know, a couple of weeks in advance.
I don't want anybody getting in trouble out there like the way that they hassled Lewis that time up on stage. They made his life a living hell for a couple of months.
Now, we were talking about in the office that, you know, we're never going to stop doing these Las Vegas-style shows. We're going to do them. Where we do them is, you know, maybe going to be the subject of modification. We might really have a pretty specific type of place that we're going to have to go to do these shows, but we're not going to stop doing these shows.
And they're not going to shut us down. The ABC board is not going to stop our fun.
Right.
For God's sakes, we make 2,000 people a night happy when we go out and do those shows. Those shows are fantastic. We love doing them and people love seeing them. But, frankly, we're not going to be dicked around by these people.
Right.
You know, what... You know,
No
profanity?
Let me tell you something. You know, that's the one that I just can't understand.
Right.
I mean, you go to any comedy show anywhere, and 90% of them you're going to have some profanity in the comedy
and
show.
That was one of the first things that I said. What about when you go to a stand-up comic show? I said, well, the ABC, if they wanted to, if the comic was playing in a bar... Or even at a comedy club. They could come in and they could run this if they wanted to.
Wow.
It's because it's us. It's because it's us, because we've got this aura about these shows.
Yeah.
That a lot of times people think the shows are a lot worse than they really are. And frankly, you know, they're pretty raunchy.
Yeah, they've gotten, we're very proud of the fact that they've gotten raunchier and raunchier and raunchier. And there's, you know, it's one thing to modify, it's another thing to completely, it's just a little silly.
No, I mean, if we're going to do a show like that, we might as well do what we used to do. We used to go to Blockbuster Video on Saturday.
Right.
And just sit at a table and say hello to people for 2 hours.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, a Las Vegas-style show is a Las Vegas-style show. Is a Las Vegas style show. So I just want to put the ABC board on notice that we are going to war with them. We are absolutely going to war with them. You might win this battle. We might cancel this show, but we will win the war.
Sure, because we're going to find out exactly what our legal rights are and what we are able to do, and we're going to do exactly what we are legally able to do.
We're talking about prior restraint of free speech here, and if it's not going to be us, I hope somebody challenges them on the censorship, especially that language thing. They may think they can do it, and I know they can take away liquor licenses, but they're doing so.
You know,
if they do that, they're breaking the law.
You know, there's only one thing in our show that I think when they say you can't do that, that doesn't surprise me. But I'll tell you, everything else, it seems to me, if everybody's in there and 21 years old, it seems to me perfectly legit. I don't get it.
They're just pricks. They're just prudes. They're just out to take the air out of our balloon.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. They've been trying to do it for a while. And I just want to let everybody know that they're trying to do it at our show on Thursday, August 26th.
We're not going to let this show be eliminated by a few people that, you know, because a certain venue and a certain location has nothing to do with the bar owners, has everything to do with the people that supervise them, but, you know, ABC.
Mm-hmm.
We really are going to just try to get this worked out.
You know, as a matter of fact, we're thinking about the people that own this venue, Masquerade.
Right.
Because if ABC really comes down on anybody, it'll come down on them. And we don't want someone who advertises on our show. And that, listen,
That's our lifeblood. We get advertisers on our show. Mm-hmm. That's how things go. We're not going to alienate one of our advertisers and go out and do stuff that we know is going to get them in trouble and get them to lose their license.
Boy, the Eat the Apple game, that just blows me away. And the lack of profanity, that amazes me. Even the underwear fashion show, I mean, you're thinking, you know... You know, so somebody, you know, gets up there and strips down to, like, some nice frilly underwear. I don't understand how that could be construed as. I mean,
I said, listen, we've done it in places where, you know, when something happens and it goes too far, the management gets up on stage, the bouncers come up, and the ABC people said, no, we're not going to tolerate that.
Right. And frankly, the Monica Lewinsky contest, we've always high-fived each other and said, boy, it's pretty amazing that we got away with that.
Oh, and listen, we got to do that. Yeah. I mean, What about the last time we did it with a bloody cigar?
No!
I mean, that was a real watershed moment for this show.
It certainly was.
We got to do it. So I'm just telling you now, the show is still tentatively scheduled for Thursday, August 26th. But if push comes to shove, you know, we'll just reschedule it and find another place to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll try to, if we have to reschedule that, we're going to get it in a venue where everybody can go down and relax and enjoy themselves.
Just give you the information on that. Okay, I know we have to do the contest now. Mm. Oh, let's do that because we're so cramped for time. Just let me do a quick plug for next week on Monday's show. It's our annual Elvis Presley is Still Dead show.
Yes. Yay.
With all your favorite Elvis stuff, including the stories about Elvis drinking the champagne glasses full of cough syrup.
We're going to have any more details on the Elvis washing his face in his own urine.
Yes, we're going to have a guest on that will tell us about that.
Good.
We'll have a couple of Elvis impersonators on with us.
Including the Swedish guy.
Yes, right. He's going to be here singing on Monday's episode, the Swedish Elvis.
Yeah, House of Rock.
And also, unrelated, Leah Remini wants the call up, so I guess she's an Elvis fan. She'll be on the show Monday, too.
I think it's a good opportunity for us to start that that September push.
Right, to get our walk on at King of Queens. Mm-hmm. Also, next week on the show, you know, we got another beach house extravaganza.
Yeah.
Labor Day, Dewey Beach, Delaware. Homo Joe's filling up a beach house with our crazy kooky listeners. We'll start doing that next week.
Good.
And also next week on the show, Strip Trivia making its triumphant return.
Hallelujah!
Right, because we can still have naked people in this studio anytime we feel like it.
Absolutely.
You know, the profanity thing, there's some things we can't say here.
Of course.
You know, because the station has an FCC license and stuff. Right.
But we can certainly say a Sholey.
Yes, right. We'd like to say that the ABC board's a Sholey's.
That's right.
Full of a Sholey's. Giant, big, hairy a Sholey's. You would think they would have more important things to worry about.
Right. We're a great target. You know that. We always have been. We always will be.
All right. Well, we'll win.
Mm-hmm.
We'll beat them down. We'll win. Okay. Listen, all this week, everybody that's won a prize on the show has qualified for the WWF SummerSlam trip to Minneapolis. We're going to give it away now and give you the opportunity to win the trip. You must prove to us that you're listening to the show, hence the phrase that pays. When we call you, please answer your phone by saying this. I have to take a shiggle bit on the ABC board.
Oh, God.
Okay? When you answer your phone, say, I have to take a shig old bit on the ABC board.
I have to take a shig old bit on the ABC board.
Answer your phone by saying that, and you win the trip to SummerSlam in Minneapolis with Jesse the Body Ventura.
All right. The password is, I have to take a shig old bit on the ABC board. That is the only time I'm going to say it because I am worried that I will mess it up, so to speak.
Come on, prove to us you're listening.
We'd like to point out we are...
We're sorry. The person you are calling does not wish to talk with callers who drop their number.
Please. We'd also like to point out we are calling amateurs. So what they say...
Yes, you got to be... But we got a delay here. I got my finger on the button.
Right. Shig old bit.
Right. I've got to take a shig old bit on the ABC board.
Are you hearing Japanese in your headphones? Or
yes, it's some kind of feedback.
Okay.
From this studio.
So the whole thing, the whole audio chain is a little screwed up in here today. I'm getting that.
Let me try the alternate number for this guy. Or girl. I don't want to give it away. Yes, Robbie.
It's a Korean radio station.
Hello, you have reached the GW Painting Company. Sorry we're unavailable to take your call. Please leave your name, number, and a brief message.
All right. Sorry, he wasn't there. Yes, Robbie?
And you occasionally get it in the phones even when you're just calling in-house.
Oh, okay.
So it's good Korean stuff.
Oh, okay.
Listen, you'll like it.
Dong Chao Ribe.
All right, let's try another number. Selected at random.
Very exciting. It's a wonderful wrestling trip.
Oh, it's a good trip to Minneapolis.
meet Jesse Ventura,
go up to their big dome.
I have to take a shig old bid on the ABC board.
Bingo!
You got it, absolutely.
Thanks, man.
I don't even know who is this. I don't even see the name here.
Yeah, this is Vernon in Ashburn.
Vern Lovell.
Yeah.
Vern, congratulations. Hey, Vern.
Hey, Vern.
Yeah,
you
man.
Have won a trip for two to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
To see WWF SummerSlam with Jesse the Body Ventura's return to the ring. Everybody else, please order WWF SummerSlam live on pay-per-view August 22nd. And your trip, courtesy of Media General Cable, top event at the Squared Circle Club, the official WWF fan club. Have a great time in Minneapolis.
All right, thanks, guys.
And give us the phrase that pays one more time.
I got to take a shiggle bid on the ABC board.
Bingo!
Right. Beautiful.
Way to
well
go.
Done. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Hold the line, please.
All right.
Well, that didn't take long.
A big winner.
Yeah, that's a good prize. Congratulations, my friend. Now we'll clear the lines out. Start today's show with a fresh caller 100 and a prize package that we have selected especially for you. It lies straight ahead. If you're the 100th caller, so get on top and call us at 1-800-636-1067.
This is the Dawn and Bond.
That was a really, really great moment on this show.
I hope it was a happy birthday for
you. It was great, and I know you have photos of it, and blackmail is a wonderful thing.
I think all we're going to do at first is bring the photos. We're going to have them blown up real quick.
Oh, how nice. And the poster size.
Bring them out to our next Las Vegas-style show.
Oh, won't that be nice? I'll invite my parents.
Yeah, you notice when the camera comes in how I push this rolling chair back to the corner of the room to be out of the shot?
I couldn't see much with the harness on me.
That's such a bad picture. I don't even want to be in the frame when that picture's taken.
All righty.
So did you have that smell, seriously, when you left, that kind of
sex smell?
Hand lotion, sex,
no,
rubber object smell
nothing.
On you?
No, and I did, I triple checked, no.
A testament to the cleanliness of the lady.
Well, I believe she wiped right here in front of me.
Oh, there you go. Right there.
Because our studio smelled all night long. I mean, even when the sports junkies came in, they come and they said, boy, but you must have had some strippers in here today. We said, yes.
Yeah, it's that perfumey smell that you get to, you know, that lingers.
I didn't notice. Mm-hmm. Didn't notice it at all.
So you got lots of positive feedback at the theater? You got lots of feedback at the theater?
At work, yes.
At the movie house?
Yeah. Yes. While I'm popping the popcorn and putting out the candy for the day.
Well, happy birthday.
Did you see Star Wars yet?
Happy birthday
well,
to you, Charlie.
You,
okay, what's new this weekend?
We'll do it very quickly. Let's start off with Detroit Rock City.
Oh, I love this movie. I love the way this movie looks.
Good, I'm glad you do. It's about four guys who decide...
Okay, now that's the way that when you look at me like that, that's the way you think I'm an idiot. Because I think this looks like a good movie.
No, I think that you're like Mike did with Blair Witch. You're going to buy into the hype of the movie. And going to go thinking, this is all about Kiss, and it features all the guys in the movie a lot.
Oh, that's the movie. No wonder you like it. That's the movie about Kiss.
It's about four guys in the 70s, led by Ed Furlong. He doing nothing, pretty much, since he was a little kid in Terminator. He leads a group of friends, pot smoking.
Is he the guy with the long hair when they're driving along? When he says,
yes.
But that's how porno movies start.
No, Ed Furlong is the driver of the car.
Okay.
Most of the time.
It really does. The trailer looks hysterical.
There are parts in this movie that are very funny. I think, though, people are going to be disappointed if they expect Kiss 100% of the time in the film. It's funny in that if you grew up in that time and in that era where you hated disco and you did everything to burn disco records and beat up people who liked disco and you were a bit of a stoner who loved Kiss, you really enjoyed the movie. And there are some very funny moments. One of the highlights I liked of this movie was the mom, who is played by an actress named Lynn Shea, who has been in some of the Farrelly Brothers movies. She was the landlord in Kingpin.
Oh, really?
That's
great. I remember.
And the same woman is the somewhat sun-dried woman from
Something About Mary.
That's the same woman. Yes.
I had never known that. That was the same actress.
I never made that connection
same
either.
Actress. Well, in this movie, she is a somewhat right-wing, right-of-liddy mom who knights in Satan's service, hates Kiss, hates rock music, burns the kids' concert tickets in front of them, and lights a cigarette with them. So they're pretty much, they steal a car, and then they decide to go to Detroit to get tickets to the show.
I got to say something. Makeup or no makeup, it's a testament to that woman's ability as an actress.
She's pretty funny, isn't she?
She's totally unrecognizable between the three, unless you point it out. I mean, it's really, really amazing.
And gross in the first two movies.
Oh, amazingly gross.
So they go to the show, and that's when
you get your fill of Kiss music. And there's a great camera shot towards the end where it's almost as if the camera is in Gene Simmons' mouth looking out the crowd. You don't know what it is, but it starts coming out and you see this giant tongue just flapping in the breeze. So, you know, it's not bad. Not bad. Two and a half.
I'll go see it this weekend.
2.5
Because I love Kiss so much. I love the part in the trailer where they're talking to two little kids, I guess, out front of the arena.
Yeah, and they try to beat them up.
And the little kid, they go, hey, give me your ticket. The kids go, the way little kids do, Kiss sucks.
I know.
Fantastic. All right, so you give that 2.5 porcelain dolls?
2.5
Would you recommend that?
Yeah, I would. Again, if I think you grew up in that time and you really like the band, I would, very much so.
All right, next movie.
We'll go with Broke Down Palace. This is the Claire Danes movie.
Okay, let me stop you and tell you that this looks to me just like the movie that Anne Heche did with Vince Vaughn.
It's a little bit like it, but not. There's not quite the moral dilemma that was in that film, Return to Paradise, is what you're thinking
right.
about, where they go overseas and they have to turn, Joaquin Phoenix is also in it, they have to turn one of their friends in, or they're going to be in jail.
This
guy who's over the seas.
This one looks a little better, actually.
It's Midnight Express Light,
uh-huh.
this movie. It's
now,
about,
see, that turns me off right there, because maybe you're going to have a movie like this, you got to go all the way.
They don't. I think that it's an issue where you're dealing with women and somebody who's attractive, like Claire Dane's not going to throw into a Turkish prison.
She is a dog.
I think she's cute.
She is a supreme bow wow.
No,
I mean
cute.
That.
No.
No. She's like an uglier Gwyneth Paltrow.
How would you rate her?
That girl?
Yeah, Claire Danes.
A 3.
A 3?
3.0. How would you rate that girl?
Marla. In her prime?
Yeah, in her prime.
In her prime, solid 5.
There you go. Right?
Solid 5. Very doable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very doable.
Well, her and her girlfriend, no, I don't know any...
Claire Dane, please.
I don't know any high school. I'm not getting in this debate.
Would you rate Claire Dane at?
Claire Danes? Well, my scale's usually a little higher
hot.
Than yours.
I think she's hot. I really do. I think she's
a good
hot.
7.5.
So you think she's a great Dane?
I am amazed that you don't like...
I'm amazed you don't like, with your Helen Hunt, I'm amazed that you don't like her a little more.
Claire Dane,
same kind of
Dane.
Like blonde, you know.
No, nothing like Helen
Hunt. Dane.
What is it? Is it Danes?
Danes.
They're Danes.
Mm-hmm. She and her friend go to Bangkok. Now, how many high school kids go to Bangkok for summer vacation right before they're going into college? They meet up with this Australian guy who kind of cons them into going to Hong Kong with him. But what he has done is put some drugs into their bags, where he apparently has done this a lot before. The girls get caught at the airport, and through creative language translations, they confess to the crime. They're thrown in jail. And an American lawyer played by Bill Pullman.
I hate Bill Pullman.
I know how much you like him.
I hated him when he was the president in
Independence Day.
Today we declare our independence.
Yeah. Totally contrived voice that was, you know, what do you think? We're so stupid we wouldn't notice that?
You just have to remember back to Spaceballs.
Right, where he plays an idiot,
where he's a Han Solo guy.
And he's always, that's what he should be doing, an idiot. And then someone came along and said, you're a male lead, you know, you're a leading man. Oh, come on.
Now,
I get him mixed up with that guy, Bill Paxton, who I think is actually a pretty good actor.
And Titanic and Twister and...
And the movie I just saw, the Simple Plan.
Yeah, and early Weird Science.
He was in Weird Science?
He was Chet. He was the bully brother.
Chet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
With the flat top and at the end turns into the monster.
See, once again, I loved him as Chet. I don't like him in the male lead roles. I don't think he's good.
Well, I think he's good, but that Bill Paxton guy.
No, Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. See, that's how I get him mixed up.
Pullman and Paxton.
So he's the
I'm
lawyer.
Pullman.
And I'm Paxton.
And we're addiction.
Good morning, everybody. Bing bong, 2 till 5.
I think if you go into this movie and you're expecting Midnight Express, it's not there. It's okay.
How many porcelain dolls?
1.5.
Would you recommend that?
If you go in not expecting Midnight Express, you might find it satisfying.
All right, now let's talk about the Eddie Murphy movie.
Okay, Bowfinger. Written by Steve Martin. Something that Steve Martin should always do is be in movies that he writes. He plays a guy named Bobby Bowfinger, who is a really washed-out Hollywood producer, has a very bad bungalow-type house, schemes trying to get left and right. He has the detachable ponytail on the back, which is actually one of the
funnier, in the ads.
Right at the very beginning, you see that. He decides he wants to make an action movie and get this guy, Eddie Murphy's character play, is Kit Ramsey, who is the number one action star in the world. Now, but this is a guy who's also very paranoid of the white man. For example, he went into a script and saw that the letter K was used 2,100 times. Well, divide by 3, that's 700 references to the Ku Klux Klan during the course of the film. They say the script is not Shakespeare. He says, oh, now you're Shakespeare, spear chucker, now you're calling me that. He's just very paranoid about everything.
Okay.
Paranoid about aliens landing, all sorts of things. Well, the plot of this movie goes along with his paranoia, and they're going to film him while he doesn't know what's going on, just coming out of his house. Actors are going to walk up to him on the street while the camera is hidden and tell him lines, and they just want to get his reaction. They figure they don't have to pay him this way because he's not in the picture. Steve Martin has $2,000 to make a movie, and that's it. Heather Graham is in the picture.
Now, do you get to see her boobs?
No.
All right. So the scene where she takes her top off,
it's just, yeah, okay, just mid, you know, like chest up.
Gotcha.
Eddie Murphy, though, plays a dual role in the film. They need somebody who is a lookalike for this actor, and Eddie Murphy in the glasses and the braces and the
braces. I mean, just looking at Eddie Murphy makes me laugh in this movie. He's so funny.
You find out something about that character in the braces and glasses later on in the movie I don't want to give away, but that's where a lot of this good work that Eddie Murphy does when he actually acts, like in Nutty Professor, where he can do so many different roles, does the same thing here in Bowfinger. It's a movie that's very smartly written, like an
I'm laughing just thinking about Eddie Murphy.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Going to be a star.
Like an L.A. Story, or like how Albert Brooks writes his movies, like Mother. Very well written, very smartly written, and if you go into the movie expecting that, you're going to be really satisfied. There are a lot of very big laughs in the movie. I was pleasantly surprised by this because I had heard
porcelain
really
dolls?
Bad things.
How many porcelain dolls?
Three solid ones.
Wow. Three solid porcelain dolls. Would you recommend this movie?
Certainly.
Okay. Is that it for this weekend?
That's it.
Okay.
All right, get out.
Right, you got it.
Way to go. Have a good weekend, guys. Have fun biking.
Thank you.
There you go. How many wheels on your bicycle?
Do you have a bar between the seat and the wheel?
Is it a girl's bike or a boy's bike, Charlie?
No, it's a hybrid bike, a boy's bike. And I'll go my 30 miles today. Thank you.
Damn it. Charlie Stossel, everybody.
A basket on the front so I keep my newspapers in for my side job, so with a flower so I can go and deliver the paper.
Okay. Right, Charlie, whatever you say.
Right next to the bell.
Movie man Charlie Stossel.
Once married, twice shy. Here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
Movie man Chuck Stossel.
Oh, God, that's funny.
We make him feel good about himself.
Yes.
We do. We have to break, and that's it. We're doing best of on the rest of the network for the show today, and then at 5:30 we got the Redskins show starting here on WJFK and all along the Redskins radio network. All right, so we will see you Monday.
We
normally have the fake tree,
man,
but we had a real one, and we had left it up. I just realized that yesterday, I think it was the one-month anniversary of us putting it up, and we just took it down yesterday.
It's a nasty job. It's a difficult job to tackle after all that, you know, that revelry.
I was trying to tell my wife that Ed McMahon keeps a Christmas tree year-round to keep himself in the Christmas spirit.
And, you know, now that you say what you said before, and you say that about Ed McMahon, do you think that tradition was born out of Ed's just total laziness?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Hi-oh.
Leave it up. Yeah, we'll use it as a bit.
Hi-oh. Listen, somebody from our Denver radio station just called. Somebody from the programming department, very upset.
About?
That I said that F. John Elway, you know, saying your show's on in Denver and you should alienate the people, and that they just renewed our contract there, and that they canceled a bunch of other Westwood One shows, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I said to the guy. The guy says he's positive that some of the Broncos listen to our show, okay?
Ooh.
I said, well, I find that hard to believe. I don't think anybody in Denver listens to our show.
Right.
But I would be willing to auction off my loyalty if either a member of the Broncos calls or a member of the Falcons calls.
So the first Bronco, legitimate playing member of the Broncos, or can they be second stringers?
I take a second stringer.
As long as they're on the roster.
The name he mentioned was the white guy, the receiver.
Ed McCaffrey?
Ed McCaffrey.
Wow.
He said that he listens. Now, who knows? The guy could have just been blowing smoke up my ass.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically going to say whatever real team member calls this show first, you will root for that team.
Yes.
That's fair.
Yeah, and I included you in that, too. I hope you don't mind.
Sure. I have no loyalties towards either one of those teams, and I will sell my fan loyalty down there.
Because to be honest, I really don't.
And you know something? I
care who wins, but I just don't share this big love fest for Mr. Ed Elway.
And as far as you and I, you know, selling our loyalty towards one team or another, that is, as people will tell you, extremely valuable. Really absolutely valuable.
And I know, conversely, that some of our stations down south, although we're not in Atlanta.
Right.
We have stations in suburban Atlanta, and I think our station in South Carolina goes very close to Atlanta. Same deal for them. Just got to be a guy we've heard of. It could be a second stringer, but it's got to be a guy we've heard of. First guy from either team to call in, that's the team we'll root for. Although I still...
No getting Matt Elliott to call us, Rob.
Yeah.
No fair. He's out of football now. And I still reserve the right, no matter who I root for, to hate Elway. And I'm sorry, I don't care if everybody in Denver hates me because I hate Elway.
But explain yourself, Dev. You see, I understand people getting upset because you don't explain. You hate John Elway because he's a rich, successful guy because you're jealous of him.
Partly. partly because he's got everything. And I don't buy into this. Let's all feel bad for John Elway. Let's win this one for John. Listen, all you schmucks like me that sit on your couch and watch the TV and spend $100 to buy a freaking jersey or spend $80 to buy a picture that he has signed, this guy will live like a king for the next 8 lifetimes.
And that on that level. It's nothing besides that. It is on that level and that level only.
And if they didn't make it out like poor John Elway,
right?
Let's all hope that he wins one because his life's not complete without another Super Bowl. I would trade my life for his life in an instant.
Prior to winning last year's Super Bowl.
Yes, in an instant.
You would take the car dealerships.
Let him come in here and do this radio show for 4.5 hours a day. Yeah. I'll go out and throw a football. I don't care if I lose all those Super Bowls.
You know, in fairness, we must say there are people that say things about our job. That they would trade places with us in a minute. I'm just trying to balance here.
I'm not disputing that our jobs are great.
We do have great jobs.
I certainly could not have a real job.
Right.
There's no way I could ever have a Joe job in the real world.
Right.
No way.
What I'm saying is everything is all relative. It's all relative, and I agree with you on that level.
But I don't see a groundswell of emotion for people saying, boy, I really hope that Donna might get to number one in the ratings because, it means so much to Donnie.
You know something?
As far as I know, there's a lynch mob out there waiting to kill me after every show.
I'm going to stop you right there because something you don't see that we've been doing for years around here is that before every show, I get together with Buzz, I get together with Rob and Charlie and Christine.
Everybody.
We get into a huddle and I said, let's go have a great show, but let's have a great show for Don. I just wanted to make you aware of that fact, okay?
I don't doubt that that's how my teammates feel, and I appreciate that, Mike. Right. That's what you demand.
You go. All right, wait, and Rob does give me that salute. Just
the
like
mile high salute?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I just don't buy that. You know, poor John Elway.
Well, you're also, it's not just the money. You're also saying he's already done it all. He's already won it all.
Oh, I felt this way before he won the Super Bowl.
Right.
I felt this way. I was mad last year. On any level.
And I'm going to take you back to last year's Super Bowl. Because on any level, did you feel kind of emotional because he had been there so many times and he'd never won?
Mm. No, why should I feel bad for a guy that gets to play a game for a living that he's never won?
Did you feel bad? Did you feel happy that they'd won the Super Bowl?
First off, I was mad because they beat the Packers.
Oh, there it is! There it is! We have identified
That's not all there is to it.
That's what it is.
More than that, Mike. As show historian, he raved for over an hour against Elway last year. We have it in best of.
Right?
He hates John Elway.
I do hate him. I do.
Listen. Okay, butt boy. Thank you very much.
What?
I'm just trying to make a point. I know that I don't need you to come over and explain why he's right. I've been working with him for 13 years, okay? I don't need you to do that. But thank you very much. I appreciate that, Rob.
I appreciate it.
I am so glad that I understand how he feels now. Thank you for explaining that.
Listen, I will say to you with all honesty.
Yes.
I'm a little mad because the Packers lost.
See, I forgot that. I completely forgot who they had played last year.
But even when I got past that, I'm still mad about all this crap of let's win one for John holding up the trophy. You know, meanwhile, John Elway's going home and wiping his ass with $100 bills at night. Right? Here's a guy that never has to do anything another day in his life.
Right. That's true.
Why should I feel bad for him? Like, I would feel bad for it. I would feel the same way. All right, maybe he's a one-of-a-kind thing for me. I'm trying to think of another quarterback.
Yes, I see. I was trying to go back to where, you know, when in that moment, when the official John Elway sound effect. You know, on that level, because I think everybody that probably wasn't a Packers fan, probably for that moment when John Elway took the trophy, there was that moment of emotion where you kind of said, hey, you know, he got it. Now I understand why. Because
I didn't have it, Mark.
As this year, John Elway, they have won his Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And so it's not similar when they're saying, do it for John. That, to me, is going to the well one too many times.
Well, I felt the same way last year as I do this year. I'm sorry. I just did.
I know you did. I
felt the same way last year. Really? F him.
I understand the whole picture.
But if Ed McCaffrey calls us, I'll root for the Broncos all the way.
So it is saleable.
Oh, yeah.
Loyalty, and I will join you with that. So if we get a call, but if a Falcon calls before that, other than Matt Elliott, who is technically not on the roster.
Right, then screw Denver.
That's right.
Okay, so we're going to be objective like that to keep our fans in Denver happy.
Seems mm-hmm. fair.
Although what we would say, like it really matters in Denver.
Right.
Denver's got the biggest propaganda machine since Hitler. I mean, I've been to Denver before. Oh, my God, go watch the newscast. Go watch the Channel 7 News one night in Denver.
I've never spent any time out there, so I don't know what
goes
on.
We were just
there.
Out there for Christmas.
And here's the
big Channel 4 News. John Elway picked his nose today. We got a reporter out at Mile High right now. Yeah, we're hearing reports that he ate it after he picked his nose. Let's go back to you. Hey, Mike Shanahan's teeth will be on display tonight. Downtown Denver. It's crazy.
We'll be back with another report after this from John Elway Motors.
And you see those commercials all the time. And big full-page ads in the Denver Post. John Elway Motors, John Elway Cars.
Life in the NFL. I've said this to people before. If you're a Hall of Fame NFL football player, it is the greatest thing you can be. That's American royalty. That's how you're treated. And forever, you are treated that way for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter.
It'll be money.
There you go. There's a great example right there.
I know
there.
It is, Sonny. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
So hey.
Hold on a second there, please. So we just put that word out. First Bronco or first Falcon to call the show this week, that's where our allegiance will go, okay? And other than that, you know, I'm all for the Broncos.
What about coaches?
Oh, that'll never happen. But yeah.
Sure. Dan Reeves, thanks so much for calling. Go Falcons.
Yeah.
Mike Shanahan, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Way to go, Broncos.
I'd love to just ask Mike Shanahan about his teeth.
Assistant coaches don't count, though, right?
No.
Just has to be players for the head coach.
Imagine we get Dan Reeves on the phone. Hey, Dan.
Oh, no.
Dan. Coach Reeves.
Oh, my God, the humanity.
And we wouldn't even get the publicity for giving the heart attack. It would be, no. You know, all the stories would be two local DJs caused Falcons coach Dan Reeves to have a fatal heart attack when he's being interviewed on their show.
When they're slamming us about giving him the heart attack, they wouldn't even give us proper credit.
Hello.
Buddy.
Yeah, ball day.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, did you see a Hardball last night?
Pardon me?
Hardball. TV show?
Oh, the TV show? No, I don't know.
Elvis lover Guralnick was on there plugging his book.
Oh, you mean that guy that wouldn't appear on our show?
Right. Yeah.
He wouldn't appear on our show, but he went on that show Hardball?
He's a stiff, man. All I could think about was geese and dead babies when he was talking.
Yeah, he was a stiff. I saw him on Dateline. He's a stiff. He's just no energy. No energy level. I bet he didn't have any energy level on that show.
They were
either.
Talking about how Elvis was a great American, and then they started talking about rifles, and all I could think of was flashbulbs.
Did they take any live calls on that show?
No way.
You know, one of these times you're going to be on a show where they take calls, and I hope somebody calls up and says, hey, how come you didn't have the guts to go on with Don and Mike after you promised that?
Amen.
I heard it.
All right, thank you. All right. Thank you. Think about it. Look at all the babies we killed.
And then getting down on you about your reading list.
Hello.
You know, like that matters.
Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
This is Lonnie from Greenville, South Carolina.
Hey, Lonnie, buddy.
Hey, I just want to let you know you're number one. Don and Mike Show is number one.
Thanks for that affirmation, Lonnie. That comes from Lonnie to us.
I've just been listening since December,
mm-hmm.
and I love it.
A recent convert. Thank you, Lonnie.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Number one was Lonnie. Bye-bye.
Lonnie's not a guy that likes to elaborate.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don, Mike, and Buzz.
Yeah.
Good to have you guys back.
Hey, well, where do we go?
Well, you were gone for one day.
Hey, Christ, doesn't everybody in this country get yesterday off?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, then. Okay.
Yeah, like the third call where that's been, there's been a veiled reference, you know. Well, hope you enjoyed your three-day weekend.
Yeah, excuse me, it's a freaking national holiday. Hey, did you have the day off yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Hey, it's nice to have you back.
Okay, I'm glad to be back.
Nice to have you back. Hope you enjoyed your three-day weekend.
I was just saying, like, happy holiday kind of thing. I didn't mean it to offend. I'm sorry.
No offense taken.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you guys about that Disney thing on Buzz's newscast. The thing about the rescuers.
Oh, right, where there's supposed to be something dirty in one of the frames in that movie.
Yeah, the topless woman.
It's the topless woman.
Yeah, they fly by. They're on the back of an albatross. The two mice, which is Bob Newhart and Zsa Zsa Gabor, they're on the back of an albatross flying through the city. It's about 37 minutes through the film.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. If you have DVD, is that the best way of seeing it?
Yeah, well, we had a tape and looked it back, and you can see, you just have to, like, freeze it, you know, frame. But, of course, I hate to admit that I'm in the basement of the science building, so I found out about the general timing about it on the Internet.
Was it a photograph or a drawing of a topless woman? Which?
It's a drawing. It's like a city, you know, they're, like, going by skyscrapers, like, you know, apartment buildings.
So the cartoon drawers did that.
That's good, yeah. And you can see her breasts very clearly in that frame?
Yeah, she's, like, undressing in the window.
That's disgruntled as the employee. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
And I love it when it takes this long to finally find out. You know, what is that? My God.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, well, first of all, I did have to work yesterday, so I just want to whine about that. Second of all...
Well, what do you do?
I'm a contractor. I work with computers.
Sorry you had to work.
Yeah, me too. Anyway.
Me and Mike had a great 3-day weekend.
Fantastic.
Go ahead, rub it in. Let me know when you're done, man.
Best ever.
It was great. You know, that third day can really come in handy sometimes.
Yeah, you got to sleep in and everything, huh?
Hell, Monday felt like Sunday.
Yeah. It was incredible. You know, you realize that on Sunday, which is even more special. You say, hey, Sunday is actually Saturday.
And then you get up on Tuesday, it feels like Monday. And the next thing I know, tomorrow's Wednesday.
And then hump day, and then, you know, that's two more days to the weekend.
4-day week.
Christ, it's great.
Anyway, I have a humble request for you guys.
Yes, sir.
And this does not apply to me because you kick my ass at it. The name game. It's funny as hell when you guys rip somebody to shreds, and I have a humble request that you do that just a little bit more often because it cracks me up.
Well, listen, here's the deal with the name game. That we had to put a ban on that because, like everything on this show, people just run it into the ground.
If we did the name
game a couple of times, then that's all we get is like 8 million calls with people wanting to play the name game.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, it requires discipline. Discipline that Don and I show every day on this show.
Well, it's a discipline.
Like the discipline I showed when Lonnie called, and I wanted to immediately get into the Lonnie game. You know, knowing that it would be a quick one, you know, with Lonnie Anderson.
Who's the guy that was on Gomer Pyle?
No.
That's Ronnie's show.
Oh, Ronnie, not Lonnie. Oh.
Well, if it ever crossed your mind, keep in mind that it is funny as hell for anybody that's listening. I'd appreciate hearing it again.
Oh, thanks for that tip. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Well, he was tired. He worked yesterday.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike, I think you're number two.
Really? I think you're number two.
Oh, no. Come on, man.
No, I really think you're number two. I think you're excrement.
There's steam coming off your forehead right now.
The other guy just said a little comment and you didn't jump on him.
We're not jumping on you. We're saying you are number two.
Okay.
You said you think we're number two, and I repeat it. I think you are number two.
Well, then we're equal in your eyes.
No, no. You're the real number two.
No, please.
You're like poop.
You're
the real deal, number two.
Please.
No, come on. Why are you wasting my time with this idiotic call?
Well, the other guy was a genius.
Hey, look at the bright side. Whenever you go swimming, you'll always float.
No, not always.
Yeah, he's right. That's true. He's right about that. Not always.
All right, okay.
Hey, was it a floater that you brought your wife in to see there, Mike?
No.
So.
It was you.
All right, listen, number two. Goodbye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Jesus Christ. Tough when those fingers are so greasy to hang up that phone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How are you guys?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going? You remember when you had your dog's testes, you had them bronzed or silvered or whatever you did?
Yes, I had them plated and sent to Bob Barker and got a very nice note back from him. I had them made into cufflinks for Mr. Bob Barker.
Exactly. I kind of took your notion there, and I thought it'd be absolutely hilarious if I had my poor cat's testicles dipped in bronze, and I'm going to put them on his collar and make him wear them.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that you better be careful in the next life, because in the next life...
Yeah, really. That's quite a little fantasy you're enjoying.
He's only got one left.
In the next life, the cats will be ruling the everything, and the humans will be the ones that are serving them, and then he'll cut your nuts off and make you wear them around your neck.
I sure as hell hope not, man. What does your dog think about the whole thing, though?
What does he think? He's a dog. He doesn't think anything about it. I tell you this, I didn't make him wear them around his neck.
You know, there's one thing, having him sent out to Bob Barker, it's another thing, making your cat wear them around his neck is a constant reminder that you've hacked them off.
And what does my dog think about it? My dog sees everything in black and white. He's a dog.
Yeah, it's much more concerned with smell and taste than, you know, than thinking thoughts.
He has the brain the size of a peanut, my dog does. Really, that's not an exaggeration. Dogs' brains are very small. That's why they're so stupid.
Well, Don, it's a little bigger than a peanut.
Stupid but lovable.
A little larger than a peanut. You know, should be slamming all of us. All of us dogs.
Oh, hey, Brandy.
Hello, Don. How about a nice big pile of diarrhea?
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Clink, here's some cheese dip. Come on, Clink. Have some of this con queso dip.
I'm very, very sick.
I'm Don's dog, Bradley.
Hello.
When's the next poker game?
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Good. You guys were talking about the rescuers and the site where you actually could see the topless woman.
Yeah, baby.
There is a website out there that is not sponsored by Disney, but what it does is it shows you all the things that are, like, supposedly perverted, like in The Lion King where the clouds supposedly form the letters S-E-X.
Right.
They actually still framed it on the rescuers where you could see the woman.
Oh, really? And like in The Little Mermaid where there's a big penis in the background?
Yeah, they highlight all that stuff. Supposedly stuff about Disney, about Walt Disney, about the parks and the movies and everything. That's a pretty good website. If you want the address, I can give it to you.
We have it. We have www.darylnichols.com.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Last call.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Hey, Joe DiMaggio is going to throw out the first pitch this year for the Yankees.
Hello, I'll tell you something. I'm so amazed. Joe DiMaggio is going to play freaking center field for the Yankees this year.
It's a total rebound.
I want to tell you, if I had bet, I would have lost every dime because last December when they were saying, like, one day he's in a coma, then the next day they said he was getting up, I would have bet money he'd be dead by now, and he's out of the hospital.
And he came out of his coma, and he got mad at his doctors and said, hey, stop revealing all my medical conditions. Yep. That's why some of the people in the hospital didn't even know he was being discharged yesterday.
As a matter of fact, I want a cage match between Joe DiMaggio and Dan Reeves. The two of them with their shirts off.
Yeah, DiMaggio will be like hitting his stride right about time for that cage match.
Joe DiMaggio is in-freaking-credible.
He is. He has balls like cantaloupes, man.
Yeah, don't bronze those.
And put them around your dog. All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Thank you for the call. We got a break. Then we're coming.
Right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We got that Quicken thing where you pay your bills on the computer. And I see that, and immediately I went downstairs to hide.
You run.
So I'm down in the cave, you know, with the TV turned up real loud. And it's about 2 hours later. Mm-hmm. And I figure she's got to be done with it, right? So I go upstairs because I'm looking for some relations.
Yeah, right.
Make no bones about it. I am a horny man.
You are indeed.
And I wanted my marital obligations.
Right.
And I went upstairs and she was still on the computer. Now, I couldn't tell that she was still paying the bills, right? So, because she had some kind of a blank screen and she was like just typing stuff, right? So she's at the screen and she's... She's going right. She's got on her. She got on her leotard because she's been working out, right?
Yeah, it's kind of an attractive come hither outfit.
Right. So I go up and I start to move where I'm like a rubber back a little bit,
right?
And I'm getting not a bit of response. I might as well be touching a wax dummy at this point because she's not giving me anything. As soon as I lifted up the straps, like to pull the straps down over her shoulders.
Yeah.
This is the move she gives me. Like this, both arms go up. The straps that had been, maybe an inch down, they snap back up and she says, take a look at how much our credit card bills are. And by the way, you want to talk about ruining
the best of times to the worst of times in one move.
Ruining the beautiful moment. And then, you know, then it's like when I'm a little kid, because I got to sit there and I got to look at everything.
And get lectured about everything.
Yeah. Like, well, she'll say, see this? Now, a lot of it is her spending also, right? Although we conveniently go past that.
Yeah, it's your fault. When the bills are too much, it is your out-of-control spending.
Right, so I said to her, listen, what's the problem? You know, we will just have to stop spending so much money, right? She says, it's not that easy. The damage has already been done, right? We've already spent this money. We already got the junk.
Nothing you can do about it.
Right. I should be married to you. You and I would have no problems about money.
Yeah, we'd be broke inside of a month.
We'd be broke living in a one-room apartment with a hot plate. And we'd have a great TV system. Hey, Don, I'm home. Hey, listen. I bought a plane. Do you know anybody that knows how to fly?
It's really cool.
We go, no, but look. I bought another TV.
Oh, man, that's bigger.
The 80-incher? That's incredible. Where are you going to put it? I moved your bed out in the hallway.
No problem.
See you on the plane.
Fantastic.
Duh. Yeah, that's a bitch, because then she wants to, like, lecture me about money and junk.
I get the same lectures. It's frustrating, but we do... There are many, many households where, you know, men don't have the luxury of having... wives that are have the skills, possess the skills to do that kind
well,
of work.
I have the skills. I am one thing I am.
I do too. My wife doesn't believe I do, but I do too. You know, she doesn't realize that I was single for a long period of time and actually paid my own bills and had a very good credit rating.
All right, well, you got me beat there because my credit was always the worst, but I'm good at math.
You are, but you're much better at math.
Okay. But the problem is that, like, when I paid the bills, and a couple of years ago we went through this experiment,
right,
where for whatever reason she said, you know, why don't you give it a try
and
see how tough it is to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, all right, I'll handle this. Well, the problem is that, for instance, let's say we got a Visa bill in,
okay?
And let's say that maybe, I don't know, something was bought that maybe I didn't want my wife to know about, like an expensive box of cigars or something.
All right.
What I would do would be, or whatever the purchase,
mm-hmm.
my wife, of course, she wants to keep our credit nice. She pays all the bills immediately.
Yeah.
I would always resort to my old habits.
Right.
First off, pay the minimum amount due,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I would simply file the bill away to lose the evidence.
Sure.
Right? So this went on for about 3 months.
Then on the next bill, it'll be hidden away, and there won't be any record of it, and it'll simply be the number. It'll be
right.
worked in, and no one will know. It must have been several things.
Right. Well, that worked for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything, it ends up catching up with you.
Right.
And I came home from work one day, and there was a whole big pile of faxes. And I said, what's that? She said, those are our charge card records. I called the credit card company today and requested copies of our last five bills.
Oh, no. So your file cabinet, your little trash file cabinet.
Right. And she said, I thought you'd been paying the bills. And I said, look, I've been paying them. She said, what? You paid $58. I said, that is the minimum payment.
Yeah, why give it all to them?
Right. This way. I said, how do you, I said to her, I swear to God, I said, haven't you noticed the last 3 or 4 months, we've really been saving a lot of money, putting
right.
more money in the savings account? She said, yes, because you make the minimum payment on all of this crap when I normally pay all the bills.
So it's getting bigger and bigger, and your interest charge is getting bigger and bigger.
That's right, and I had to sit through that lecture also, that, listen,
right.
credit card companies charge us, you know, 19, 20, 21%.
Yeah, those
you know.
Credit cards, you know, your average run-of-the-mill Visa, MasterCard credit cards that have the balance where you can pay a minimum, you know, it sucks, because not only do you have that incredible interest rate after that, you know, that initial offer that
yeah,
they all
the
talk
six
about.
6 month, 1.9%,
yeah.
right?
And then it goes up to, you know, 600% interest, and then, you know, you've got the minimum where you tap it out because you've got a certain amount of, the, you know, money that you can spend on it. So, like, and it only hits you when you're on the road somewhere, like Los Angeles, when
declined.
You get your haircut. And, you know, it's, and you walk in, and then they say, you know, I'm sorry, it's been declined. And then they're
collecting.
Yeah.
That's what they say to you right there.
Exactly what they say.
Squeal real good.
Decline? What do you mean, sir? Why are you doing that to me? Why are you hanging me?
Declined?
Declined.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to sit through the whole lesson today. And then, you know, it's so ridiculous. I'm 40 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have to sit down with Frida like she's my mommy. And I have to say, okay, I promise I will not spend all of our money.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise when I buy something,
right.
I will keep the receipt. Because that's the killer. And the other thing that I always get in trouble for is I go to the machine, and if I need $30 on the way to work, you know, or something,
right.
I'll stop. I'll get $30 out. You know what I do with that receipt? Over my shoulder, man. I toss it. Goodbye. I don't even wait for a garbage can. It's like it comes out of a little slot, and I go, goodbye.
Machine will take care of it.
Well, then I can't, you know, then my wife says, gee, I'm trying to balance our checkbook, and I can't figure out how come we're like $180 off. And meanwhile, I'm always ready to blame it on anybody else. Like,
right.
oh, you know, some rat bastard out there must have double-charged us or sent a check through twice.
Why those guys?
And then she does that trick where she calls the bank, and they say, oh, no, listen, your stupid husband
right.
keeps taking money out. That Frida says, where's the receipt?
And the ATM always, is the worst thing that was ever invented for bad record keepers.
I always said the receipt is between two pillows.
I can't remember, seriously, the last time I actually touched a check. Like, actually touched a check. I do all of it through the automatic teller machine.
And now when you're at a store, doesn't it piss you off? It pisses me off when someone writes a check.
Yeah, because there's no need
for it. In
this
day and age, right? You could, first off, you could use your ATM card, or you could even use the card that
I don't know, would the ad say that it's like a checking account?
Right.
Right, where all you do is just swipe it through. And there's nothing that's more of a pain in the ass. You stand in the store, you're waiting to buy your stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's always a lady.
Right.
And she got to write the check, and then she got to pull out her big-ass purse and get out her wallet. She got 8,000...
With her coupons in it.
8,000 things in there,
mm-hmm.
and then she got to, okay, hold on, here's it. And you, and then,
right.
on top of it, they want like $15 back.
Yeah, for cash.
On top of it.
For incidentals, you know, for that pack of gum when they're at the convenience store. So they need that extra.
Right. Checks suck.
There's only one thing worse than that. And there was a lady that I was in back of at the food store, and she was buying 3 dozen donuts. She was a teacher. I got this. I got this during... I know you're applauding the donuts, Rob. She was getting donuts for her fellow teachers. And she paid for the donuts in the express line with a baggie full of coins. And I stood there. I seriously stood there. Laura and I were doing the dual shopping trip where I've got one kid and she's got the other kid.
Right.
And I was late because I was looking for a card for someone for a birthday. And I was actually, I was late and I got behind this lady and she is counting out the coins for the 3 dozen donuts and going, having this lovely conversation with the checkout lady.
Technically, you could have busted her because... 3 dozen donuts,
right.
she should not have been in the express lane,
absolutely.
Which is 9 yeah. items or less.
And she was doing something. It wasn't just that she was paying with the coinage. She was doing some kind of organization, you know, poker game with the coins.
Right, and probably, probably because I've been in this. Everybody's been in this situation. You got someone who's like buying a bagel,
right.
and then they're buying an apple, and they go, okay, but... You have to ring them up separately because
right.
I'm buying the bagel for Rob. Here's the dollar that Rob gave me so that they can go back and give Rob his 17 cents, give Mike his 28 cents.
That's, I didn't figure it out until now. That's exactly what she was doing.
Right.
She had separate stacks of coinage for each person.
All those people should be shocked.
Yes, all those donut-eating educators.
What, Rob?
When I worked at Safeway in college, there was old people, they'd come in with bags of pennies. And it got to be so common that when the old ladies would come through, they'd just shut the line off and let them start counting, and then we'd come back when they had, like, stacks and stacks
like
of pennies.
Like the full grocery purchase paid for with pennies?
$40, $45 worth of groceries.
Oh, my God.
With bags of pennies.
Oh, my God. Oh, that would be a pisser.
I missed that joke.
Oh, wow.
That would be a pisser.
Although I do have... Listen, let me end this little rave out with a happy note.
All right.
The guy in my Safeway, the guy that I told you, AJ?
The guy you like.
Right, the guy that had, like, the McGuire card and the Sammy Sosa card.
Right.
I was in the grocery store yesterday morning, right? And I'm waiting, and there's, like, 20 people in line at the express lane. And this guy, he's such a gem, man.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hey, yo, come down here. He opens up a register for me.
There you go. Oh, man, you know you're living when you have a friend like that.
So I get down there, and I'm just buying my usual crap, you know, salad stuff, boring stuff like that. And he says, hey, thanks for mentioning me on the show the other day. I got a lot of people asking me about those cards. I said, you're a very brave man
mm-hmm.
to walk into a grocery store and show people these very valuable cards. And he says, I got a special one for you today. It was just a pouch. Got a Roger Maris card. 1961. I said to him, AJ, what, are you retarded? Put that away. People come into this store, people who have guns, who will take that card away from you.
Wow.
Right?
I don't know. I can't imagine what the value is of that card, but that's... that had the Mark McGuire Olympic card, right?
The Mark McGuire Olympic card.
Right.
Mark McGuire rookie card.
Sure.
Sammy Sosa rookie card.
Oh, man.
And the Roger Maris 1961 card.
If the sun's still up when he's walking out to his car at the end of his day.
He's a brave man. Now, at least he did have them in the little pieces of plastic, you know, the little plexiglass stuff. But, like, he had them just, like, there in his... Safeway apron, man.
That doesn't help you from getting hit over the head. Hey, nice card. Thank you.
Bye. I think the Roger Maris thing, I think that was just something that he was just showing to his special customers.
There you go. The guys that he opens the register for.
The spatial customers.
Spatial.
Go, hey, AJ. Hey, nice card. See you later. Run! I wouldn't put it beyond me.
I had to go in a couple of weeks ago to get my car retitled. I mentioned how easy it was.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I didn't remember to tell you this yesterday, that I went in yesterday and I had to get my driver's license.
Right.
They have made it so easy
mm-hmm.
at the DMV. It's fantastic. I mean, I only had to wait like about a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
However, I just want to give you a couple of real great ways to cheat. If you ever wonder how come there's so many bad drivers, how come it's so easy to get a license
everybody
in the United States?
Like Raymond's dad, right?
Well, yeah. First off, when you go to get your vision tested,
mm-hmm.
the lady who's the teller is the one that gives you the vision test, right?
Right, yeah, it's got the machine right up next to her cash register.
Right, so the machine is here to her left, to your right, and then she got her cash register. As I'm standing in line and I'm waiting, I see that on top of the vision tester, there's a cheat sheet, and it says red line, A, B, X, Y, Z, blue line, L, M, P, Q.
Right, but now in our listening audience, right. Marge, come over here. You want to hear this?
So, like, if you're standing there for 2 seconds, you can see all the answers.
And you can, like, memorize it real quick?
There were only 8 letters to a line, and there were 3 lines, so it was real easy to memorize.
Now, did you try to do that one instead of...
No, I could really see.
You really could, okay.
I could really see.
Weren't they offering us some kind of, like, surgery on our eyes, like, a couple of days? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Somebody was offering us...
There is a laser surgeon in Baltimore that wanted to not only give us that free surgery... And I would never let anybody operate on my eyes, man.
Oh, man, laser surgery.
Not only that, but they wanted to do it on the air because I heard Max get neutered on the air. That they thought it would be great radio.
Oh, super, yeah.
I said, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to let you put that laser in my eye.
Yeah.
Right.
Good night, Stevie Wonder. Good night, Jose Feliciano. Good show. Boy, that was great. It was live on the air. Oops, excuse me. I bumped into the wall.
Hi, everybody. It's Ray Charles. Hi, yeah. There's Tom Dreesen. It's wild, man. Playing the blind game right now.
Tom Dreesen or Tom Sullivan?
I would go Dreesen, buddy. So you're going to take...
Tom Dreesen?
Isn't that...
What? Tom Dreesen, stand-up comedian, opened for Frank Sinatra.
He's not blind?
He's got his sight.
Who's the guy then?
Tom Sullivan is the guy that does the Callaway golf commercials.
Okay, then you're ahead of me, but I'll give you that one. Hold on. The blind guy from Sacramento that always calls our show.
All right. Helen Keller.
King of the blind. I'm not even going to try like Venetian blinds. Because listen, Helen Keller is the mother of all blinds.
The queen and deafs and mutes. Yes.
Mike, you're queen of the deafs. I mean, you're king of the deafs.
Yeah.
King of the mutes.
Thank you.
King of the blind.
Thank you very much. I'm very proud. I couldn't be more proud.
All hail King of the Blind. Now they're all coming to me. Jeff Healy, that rock singer.
Oh, okay.
Remember he had that song Angel Eyes? How funny that is. That a blind guy had a song called Angel Eyes. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is Josh from South Carolina. First
Ronnie
of all,
Millsap.
Hello? Ronnie Millsap, another great one. He's another of your subjects,
yeah,
Mike.
Absolutely. Hello, hail.
Hey, I want to first of all say you guys are great.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you guys, I heard you guys talking about the laser surgery.
Oh, yeah, the laser surgery, right.
I had a friend that got that done, and he said that night he seen better already, but he said the next morning he woke up and he said he was looking through a crystal. He said it was clear all the way, man.
So, I mean, it was great. I've heard nothing really but great stuff about
it. I'm positive that it works. I don't want anybody screwing with my eyes, man.
especially on the air. You know, the guy, you know, it's kind of weird. It's one thing working on a dog. It's another thing working on a human being.
And my eyes, man.
Great show, guys. Listen, I wanted to do the... Whoa! Sorry about that. Well, that cornea is history.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, Buzz.
Hi.
Hey, guys, I've been thinking about something.
What?
Why do they call it a tampon? Shouldn't they call it a tamp in?
This is Shecky calling this.
Another one of the very deep thinkers on the Dynamite Show.
Deep thoughts. A tamp in.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
I know you don't know who I am.
This is an Arnold. I wonder if this is a TV icon boy doing Arnold's show. Is this Arnold?
No. My name is Julius.
Are you my twin brother?
No. My name is Fabius.
Your name is what?
My name is Dickhead.
is this Mike the TV boy?
No.
No.
Is this another guy with a sampler?
My name is Julius, and I'm your twin brother.
Do you have David Letterman tapes?
No.
Is this the best you have, the Arnold tapes?
Yes.
What is your name again?
Dickhead.
I thought you were my twin brother.
No.
Not twin brother. You're somebody else then.
Yes.
Who are you?
I'm very pissed off.
Oh. Why are you pissed off? This is a tough one.
I'm very proud of you.
You're very proud of me?
Yes.
Are you proud of Mike, or are you proud of me, or are you proud of both of us?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh, man. Is that Arthur?
Sounded like it. Let me hear that laugh again.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's Dave Letterman.
That was Letterman. The beginning sounded like Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go.
Oh, this is TV
Icon,
boy.
It is him. It is him.
Hi, Dave.
All right, that was silly. I hate his cat sound effect.
He picked up his game. You know, yesterday you told him to pick up his game, and he did it.
I'm your twin brother.
Yes. No, yes.
Hello, Don, on my show. That guy cracked me up.
Julius, your twin brother.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
What's going on, buddy? Oh,
crap, that guy makes me laugh. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes.
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
God damn it, for the last time, what do you want? You're talking to us.
This is Aaron Spelling.
Okay, all right, listen, enough. Enough, yeah. Goodbye. Okay, very nice.
After TV Icon, boy, it's always a letdown.
We will be right back.
This is the dog.
Books, ugly charges.
Oh, no. Can't they leave the poor man alone?
And here's the... Here's the picture of the frail Bob Hope.
I want to tell you.
You know, this is how the Inquirer really F's celebrities. That they write this, and if you read the headline, you think, boy, they're writing on the side of Bob Hope.
Right.
No, they're not at all.
No, it's just an excuse to put the charges in from a new book. I got to hear that.
Right, they screw him as bad as the book does. All right, then here's another phoner that we have. Today is the anniversary, the 85th anniversary of the day that the Camel cigarettes first went on sale.
Hi.
We got some guy, some doctor, who says they use subliminal images to persuade buyers.
Okay.
For some reason, we have J.P. Morgan in the news. You remember that old cow that used to be on the Gong Show?
J.P. Morgan, my God, with Chuck Barris.
So she's promoting something, and she sent us her phone number. We also have, now this one is pretty interesting.
Okay.
A photographer from Britain who collects celebrity photographs. He's positive that whenever he receives an autographed photo from a celebrity, they die within days.
Oh, my God.
Here are the people that are on his death list. He asked for the picture of Lucille Ball. 3 days later, dead as a doornail.
That's, it depends, I guess, on when he asks for him.
He requested an autographed photo from Rock Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, D-E-A-D.
Wow.
Also... the astronauts from the Challenger space shuttle.
Oh, wow.
He got the picture, and next day, the rocket exploded.
Well, there's one that's not a fluke.
Gandhi. Gandhi sent him a picture. The next day, the guy is dead.
Wow. This guy must be way up there in years.
Now, he says that there's only been one fly in the ointment. That recently he received an autographed book signed by Fergie.
Okay.
You know Sarah Ferguson?
Right.
Now, Fergie's still alive. Mm-hmm. However... 2 days after he received the book, Fergie's mother dies in a car crash.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Coincidence?
Now, let's see. Who has he requested recently? Excuse me. President Clinton.
Okay.
Kate Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
And Fidel Castro. He has not received the photographs back yet. He maintains...
he has to have them in his possession.
As soon as he gets the picture back, within 3 days, boom, they're dead.
That's pretty interesting. And he's British?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, I also got a story about some 450-pound woman who's got a role in a Shirley MacLaine movie. Something about cockfighting in Arizona. Celebrity trash auction, and the guy who thinks that marble should become an Olympic sport.
I guess you don't want to read that Bob Hope story, do you?
Hey, dealer's choice. You want it?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
You got it.
All right.
Frail Bob Hope and his family.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Bob Hope.
Yeah, wow. Maybe we should call the guy in Britain and ask him to request a picture from Bob Hope.
Yeah, he better get to him pretty quick.
Frail Bob Hope and his family are shattered and reeling over a new biography that betrays the beloved entertainer as an unloving husband who kept a mistress until age 90.
Get out of here, Dolores. I'm in here with my special someone.
Yeah, I like your dress.
I love your dress.
Do you? It's pretty.
What a terrible disgrace for this type of stuff to hit now, declared one longtime family friend.
I kept my mistress till I was 90.
His health is failing.
Oh. I can't see.
He can barely see.
Oh.
Has trouble hearing. And has to be held by an assistant when he walks.
Wild, yeah, this is little Joey Lawrence, isn't he, Lawrence?
But in spite of his physical problems,
He bravely continues to make public appearances.
The APL America football team.
Hey, yeah, where's that tape from? Get that one out.
There we go. These guys be really, really
This was from the last special. And the real last Christmas special, right?
Like, maybe, like, 8 or 9 years ago.
Was it really 8 or 9 years ago?
I think so.
Wow.
When Bob Hope was pretty feebed out, not to the point where he is now.
Right.
But listen to some of these lame jokes that he makes with the members of the AP All-American football team.
This is when they didn't do it like the way they normally do it. They put them out somewhere. Like, they brought them out to Bob's house or something.
Right, because he was too feebed out to go to the studio.
Of our Christmas show, the introduction of the Associated Press All-America Football Team.
These jokes.
The cream of the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Here they come, one by one, ton by ton, the best of the 1991 season.
Wild.
Start with the All-America defensive team, right there.
That guy named Wild.
He does the tackle at the University of Washington.
He's certainly bigger than the other opposing linemen. In fact, he's generally bigger than the other school team's bus.
That is the same laugh track that right. We have.
Huge laugh Bob gets after these lines.
And you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think this was actually the last one he did in the studio where the players came running out. You're thinking of the last special he did.
Where he was Jack Frost?
From his house, right.
Yeah.
Where Dolores did most of the talking, right, Rob?
He had like a pit group, an L-shaped couch.
He was very last one.
Up in the corner. Dolores did the talking.
They brought people to him. This is the last one they did with the football team.
Right.
Where he's actually standing on the stage and each of the big dumb football players runs out and Bob says the stupid joke.
You can actually hear the reason this was the last AP All-American football team that appeared on the show.
And here's the laugh track they used, the same one we have.
There it is.
Okay, more Bob Hope right there.
Santana Dotson, defensive lineman, senior, Baylor University.
See, that's how old this tape is. Santana Dotson
right.
has played for Tampa Bay like for 6 years.
It's tough to figure out who's harder to understand, the football players or Bob.
Opposing players say that being blocked by this guy is an experience. You get to see what grass looks like from underneath.
Same laugh. And the applause. The laugh followed by applause.
Exactly the same.
Brad Culpepper, senior defensive tackle from sunny University of Florida.
When Brad was only 2 years old, he had his picture taken on a bearskin rug. Actually, it wasn't a rug exactly. It was a real bear that Brad had in a hammerlock.
Very scary.
A real bear that Brad had in a hammerlock.
University of Iowa, senior.
Yes, sir. Opposing players say that after this guy tackled him, you hear bells, which is a good sign. It means you probably still have ears.
That's wild, Bob.
Exact same laugh every time.
Bob Jones, inside linebacker, East Carolina University senior.
Yes, sir. Opposing players tell me if you get up after this guy tackles you, that some assembly may be required.
There's a little trouble with opposing players.
You know, opposing players.
Karen.
Marvin Jones, inside linebacker, sophomore, Florida State University.
I understand this guy got hit by a train this summer, but it's okay. Amtrak is not billing him for damages.
Wild.
Applause.
Wild, Bob.
Joe Bowden, inside linebacker, senior University of Oklahoma.
This guy has some appetite. I took him through a drive-in the other day. He ate the car in front of us.
God damn it, those are your bad jokes. Nice to see the writers continue to work hard for Bob, even into his later years.
Okay, in spite of his physical problems, he bravely continues to make public appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Bob is a national treasure. The book, Bob Hope, The Road Well Traveled, is also expected to infuriate fans who regard Bob as a legend.
Mm-hmm.
He never made himself out to be a godlike figure, says one family friend. Fans who laughed at Bob and his classic Casanova's Big Night might be surprised by the book's claim that he was a real-life Casanova, even keeping a mistress until age 90. She lived a few blocks away and ran to her house when wife Dolores was gone.
Come on, get out of here. Dolores is coming. You gotta get out of the room.
But Bob didn't turn to her for sex or even romance at his age. Instead, the mistress gave him friendship and emotional reassurance.
Opposing players say my mistress gives me emotional support. Yeah, isn't that great?
Thank you very much. Today, Bob and Dolores Hope are trapped in a marriage that is a hollow sham.
When Bob had flowers placed in Dolores' bedroom for their 60th wedding anniversary, she ignored them and coolly turned her back on her husband's tender attempts at romance.
Let me tell you something. My mistress has more screws in her resume than Bob Vila. Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
The book claims that Bob and Dolores now spend as much time as possible in different parts of the house. An aide describes dinner at Bob's Toluca Lake house, where Bob sits at one end of the table and Doris at the other, as an uneasy silence, saying Bob can't wait for the meal to be over so he could get back to his wife, get away from his wife, and back to his own part of the house.
I finished the meals quicker now, especially since they're in an incredible blender. Yeah.
The book also describes Bob Hope as a cold father to his four adopted children. Once in 1962, when he was in D.C. to see his eldest son graduate from Georgetown, he accepted an invitation to escape from his family and visit JFK at the White House. He was soon visiting the White House frequently, and there are reports that Bob Hope introduced JFK to more than a few Hollywood glamour girls. The book also says Bob Hope is notoriously cheap. He never tips cabbies or waiters, expecting them to feel honored that they can wait on him. Bob accused highly respected comics, including Milton Berle and Sid Caesar, of stealing his jokes. And Bob Hope exploited soldiers during his USO tours, using the publicized events to procure more starlets for himself and to enhance his popularity.
Yeah, come on up on the C-130, baby. We'll trip the light fantastic.
You know, that's not that great after the headline.
Well, it's, you know, and it's not all that big a deal when you read some of the stuff that goes on now. I mean, sure he did. He was Bob Hope. We read that a long time. Remember, didn't we read a book where he took, he cruised Palm Springs at night in a big Cadillac or
right.
something like that? He just cruised down. Hey, I'm Bob Hope. Come on over to the car, baby.
Frail Bob Hope, sent reeling by New Books, Ugly Charges. Frail Bob Hope should be reeled by this special he did 9 years ago.
Kevin Smith, senior defensive back, Texas A&M University.
This guy has a philosophy that anything that's in the air belongs to him. Five times this year, Goodyear had to buy their blimp back from him.
Oh. Put this guy out of his misery, please.
Will Buckley, senior defensive back, Florida State University.
Yes, sir. This guy sticks the opposing pass receivers like glue. He's a fierce defender of his territory. In fact, one player hollered, "Okay, you can stop covering me now and let me finish my shower."
You know something? You know, and it's probably not on tape, there has to be an outtake reel from that.
Yeah, these were the best takes that he gave.
I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah, opposing players
were rolling, and this is the good one.
I don't want to do it anymore. Where's my mister?
Dale Williams, defensive back, junior, University of Miami.
Once he didn't hear the whistle to end the play, and he tackled the entire brass section of the marching band.
Wild, Bob. Really wild.
Dale Carter, defensive back, senior, University of Tennessee.
Yes, sir. This guy's a quick defender, five games this year. When the referee tossed the coin, he intercepted it.
Wild. Bob Hope is wild.
Mark Bass, senior punter, Texas Tech University.
Yeah, this fella gets a lot of hang time. He kicked one ball against SMU, and by the time it came down, they were playing rice.
Damn, he's lame. He's so lame. But that article, you know, and you know that's not true, that Bob's not, you know, Bob's not even aware of that article, much less upset about it.
You got to say this for him.
Yes.
He hangs in there, man.
He does indeed.
He's still alive, right?
He is still alive, and he still makes public appearances.
All right, we have one call about Bob Hope, then we're going to set up Can You Get to 10. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I got a Bob Hope story for you.
Why, have you ever took a crap on home plate, baby?
Oh, baby, almost, baby.
Why?
I used to work in radio down in Gainesville, Florida, home of the Gators.
Yep.
And every year they have this big party they call Gator Growl. It's a homecoming deal.
Oh, bring Gator Growl, right? I've heard of that.
What's that?
I've heard of that.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Well, the year before, they brought in Robin Williams, and he was so dirty that they totally turned around and did the opposite thing and brought in Bob Hope the next year. Well, he came out, and he was so bad that in the middle of his routine, they have this big thing down there. The colors are orange and blue, and one side of the stadium yells orange, and the other side yells blue. Well, the stadium started doing this in the middle of his routine. And Bob Hope stopped what he was doing and asked his manager to come up to the stage, and we had a mic. And he came up and said, what are they doing? He says, they're yelling orange and blue. And the guy says, well, make them stop. Hope says, make them stop. And the guy says, how do you make 80,000 people stop doing this? And he turns around and walks off the stage.
Why'd you get out of the radio business?
That's a good story. You tell it so well.
Greg Stepniak, offensive tackle, senior at the University of Michigan.
You know,
yes, sir. Greg was big.
What? I find myself now, after you did that, listening for the players to see who's been successful in the NFL.
Like Terrell Buckley. You heard of him. He plays for Miami.
This is cool.
At first, in fact, the stroke was delivered at the train by bench pressing a Greyhound bus.
What?
The short photo is a fold-out.
Why?
Where's my mister?